Hi, everyone, and welcome to the HR Happy Hour Network. This is the play-by-play podcast hosted by myself, Jack McFarland, and Nick Schlimmer.
Hey guys, how's it going?
So this past week, I had the pleasure of attending the annual Qualtrics X4 event that's held in Salt Lake every year. I got to go with Steve Bose, shout out to the HR Happy Hour Network, one of our founders there. And we had a blast. We really did. It was like a conference that was mixed with a party is how I would describe it. Like huge music bumping, speakers everywhere,
Sounds like a lot of fun.
it was a lot of fun. It was a cool experience. And while we were there, we got to hear a lot of talks from a lot of major industry leaders like Delta, Porsche, Hilton, American Express, Adidas, obviously Qualtrics, who, for those that don't know, are a tech company. And their whole thing this year was their new Qualtrics AI that helps run your business, getting customer feedback, employee feedback, all that stuff. That was their big thing. We're not going to be talking about that today. What I do want to talk about today is just everything we heard from those industry leaders. Nick was unfortunately unable to attend. He's still in school, so he couldn't make it out to Salt Lake, but he'll be here kind of as your viewer's guide. He's going to jump in with some thoughts and even some questions that you guys might have. And we're just going to basically take a deep dive into what the new post-pandemic world leaders are thinking about business. All right, to start off today, we're going to talk about Zig Serafin. Nick, he is the CEO of Qualtrics. So this was the first guy to speak. Obviously, it's Qualtrics event. He had a lot to say. But I did like what he had to say about AI. So this is not going to be specific to Qualtrics AI. This was him talking about what he called the AI revolution. So some of his big points was that using AI will make work more human. That was a big theme throughout, was making work more human. And he was like, making it human doesn't mean not using machines. Okay, so they envision AI being a very personal, a very interactive experience that will just make work easier and not take jobs away.
Of course.
It will remove the mundane task. So, stuff that it just takes a couple hours a day that a machine could do easily. It doesn't, it's like if you were a doctor, like making appointments, like filing out, oh, they're coming in at this time, this time, this time. Like have the AI do that, basically. First topic off my head, I don't, you know what I mean? Mundane task,
No, for sure.
which basically frees up more time for you to create. So that's the human part is by letting AI do all the mundane stuff, it gives you a lot more time to really focus on being creative or more complex issues in your job. And this goes for every industry. These topics that we're talking about today are not specific to one industry. This is just general business. AI will help make decisions faster. Then after he talked about AI, he switched over to a satisfied versus an excited customer, which was another big thing they wanted to emphasize, is that a lot of companies nowadays, oh, we're looking for customer satisfaction, right? Wanting to solve, if there's a problem, they want to solve it and satisfy the customer. Well, not just Zig, but all of the CEOs and CMOs that talked were very for, no, we want the excited customer. We want the customer that's going to interact with us and that's going to be a lifelong, lifelong customer, because you just don't get that with satisfied. You can be satisfied and not happy, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And so Qualtrics, with their new AI, they were big into surveys and getting customer feedback. So that's kind of what this part's going to come from. And they said that only one third of customers speak up when there's a problem, and that 64% of consumers and customers will switch companies after one bad experience. So you don't even get a chance to fix a problem. That's why they want, and by they, I mean all the companies, are trying to find a way to interact with customers on every channel. Especially social media, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, any social media, they want you to connect, 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 because they want to build excited customers, not satisfied customers. And I thought that was a big takeaway too. Do you have any thoughts on that, Nick? Or
No,
what's kind of jumping to
so
mind?
I got a couple different things. So jumping back up to where you started in the beginning, Tori said you wanted to make, or they wanted to make the experience more human I believe is what you called it. Whenever he first said that, or he's on stage, he gives his introduction, and he says that. Just hearing you say it, I was like, that doesn't make any sense. AI seems like super technological, more technology side. How would that make things more human? So I was wondering, did that same thought go through your head whenever he said that? We want to
Oh,
make
for
things more
sure.
human.
For sure. Yeah, when well, and I mean that is the first thing he said. And like on the giant screen it pops up, you know, the word human and someone working on computer. And I think everyone was like, okay, AI seems like that's the opposite of more human. That seems more machine. And I thought the same thing, but I mean, like I said, the way that he described it is it's not making it more human in the sense that you're working with less machines. You're making it more human in the fact that you can focus on more creative, more complex issues. You're letting the machines do the mundane, easy, you know,
Just the
tasks that you just
time,
have to find in your workday.
those time-consuming tasks that probably
Exactly.
don't have too much relevance, but they have to be done, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, and then one other thought I had was you mentioned that only a third, one third of customers speak up whenever they have a problem. And I related to that like right away is because most times, like whether I'm staying at like a hotel or maybe it's a restaurant and maybe they never came back for like refill my water, I'm not the type of guy that's gonna, hey, like start something or say something. I'll just let it slide. And that's just who I am. But so that totally makes sense to where like most people, they don't want to speak up. They don't want to like potentially cause a problem or an issue. So that one stuck out to me a lot.
Yeah, and that's a big problem facing all companies is that not a lot of people are speaking up when something's wrong. They're just simply switching. You know, they're switching to a different brand, switching to a different hotel or flight or whatever. And so, you know, that's why they want you to interact with customers on every channel. And you know, build that excited customer because then they are more likely to let you know when there's an issue. And another thing that now this is Qualtrics related that their AI, it's a lot of survey based, so it's a lot of send it out to the customer. They'll take a survey, but they were saying that once the AI gets enough surveys for your company or business or whatever, then it can start to predict when there might be an issue before even the survey. So that's they kind of wrapped that into with it, like, look. Maybe not everyone's saying it, but our AI can help predict when there might be a problem or what area might be lacking. So they kind of tied it. It was, you know, it's very informative, but it was also a bit of a sales pitch, you know,
Of course,
use Qualtrics. So, but yeah, no, you're on the right track there. So why don't you, I know you weren't there, Nick, but I did give him a rundown and everything. I'm gonna let him take over. He's gonna talk about Lindsey Vonn, who, for those who don't know, is an Olympic gold medalist in skiing. So, what does she have to say, Nick?
So I'd love to talk about this. So, as Jack said, she's an Olympic gold medalist. So she came to this conference through the eyes of an athlete, not necessarily of like a CEO or a CMO, like Jack mentioned before. So most of her main points, I would say, would be hardworking, doing what you can, having passion in what you do, never stopping. Just because you fail one time doesn't mean you can get back up and do it again. You could always get back up and start again. So she talked about a lot of things to where, through the eyes of an athlete, to where it's not necessarily involving numbers or any kind of business or anything like that. More so in your head, your mental capacity, your physical abilities, and things of that nature. So, and one of the more main things that she pointed out that Jack really liked, and I really like as well, is she said that the more data and info that you can collect leads to more confidence into what you're talking about or how you're performing. And I want to get your thought on that, Jack, but I think that that can be more of a true statement.
Yeah, no, I agree with it 100%. I think it applies to business and anything in life. Like her example was getting data on a hill she's gonna, you know, race down. If the more data she gets, the more confidence she has when she's about to do that. And then if you tie it back into business, you know, if you have a situation and you need to solve a problem, getting more data can help lead to better decision making. And so that was, I mean, obviously she talked about, oh, you know, if you're working hard, you can do anything. You know, you got to build grit and have passion. I don't want to knock on her, you know. We've all heard that in our lives, okay? That was not very special. I'm just going to be honest there. That was the very much an athlete who's never had to work in business in their life, not knowing what to talk about. But the data part was really good. I'll give her props for that. And another
Yeah.
thing she said was that sometimes you have to just go with your gut. She says sometimes data might say to do one thing, but practically it might be better to do another. So you got to be ready to adapt with it. Just because
Yeah.
data says it doesn't necessarily mean you should go with it. That's the human part, is
Yeah.
even though you're collecting all this data, it's still very human.
Exactly. Well,
So
we
yeah,
can
her whole
tie,
thing
you
was
can like,
collect data.
yeah, for sure. And you can tie that right back into what you were talking about earlier with Zig, to where you can start to predict, like the AI may be able to predict things for the future. But just like you said, sometimes that might not be right. You
Yeah,
like
like,
each situation is its own thing. Everything's different.
yeah, there's more than data that goes into a decision,
Yeah.
but data can help. That was her
Oh, for
big
sure.
thing.
Yeah.
So that was the main takeaway from Lindsey Vonn. After her, we heard from the CMO at Porsche named Robert Adder, and obviously Porsche, major luxury car brand. So his whole talk was centered around building that excited customer a little more. His whole thing was Porsche is not just a brand, it's a promise. So it's like when you buy a Porsche, you're getting more than a car, right? And I think that can be applied to any business. If you can build a culture in your business to where it's more than a product and it's more of a family, is what he was kind of getting at, is try and build that family. And that really brings the excited customers. Their mar he was he's the CMO, Chief Marketing Officer, and so he talked about their marketing strategy, and this can be applied to any business as well, not just Porsche. They said that it's a very simple strategy. They want to focus on all customer touch points, and not just the major ones. So if you're a car dealership, a major touch point is when a customer walks into the dealership, how the car salesman is showing them around the lot, and all the major things you think about when buying a car. But Porsche goes even deeper. They want to think about, what is it like when you're using our website? What is it like when you call the phone? What is it like when you need a repair? Like, they think about every possible customer touch point, and they just focus that. They're big into the feedback culture, so they send out surveys, and they have a really and because they build that family, they get a lot of customer feedback, a lot. I forget the number he said. I forgot to write down, but they get a lot more than the one third. I will say that. And then based on that feedback, they give themselves 72 hours to fix it. If they don't fix it within 72 hours, then they see it as a major failure, and they will compensate the customer for that. So that's another strategy you can do into your business, is set up a, if there's a problem, we give ourselves 3 days. And if we don't fix it in 3 days, or help start fixing it in 3 days, then we have failed and we owe the customer something. Another idea that Porsche had that I think Qualtrics might be doing as well is a specific customer ID numbers. I think it's called a Porsche ID for them or whatever, but it's basically you just give each customer their own number, and that makes it very individualized, very unique. So, and a lot easier to pull up a customer profile off to the side of, hey, John Doe is having problems with this Porsche. Here's his ID. Here's the Porsche he bought, when he bought it, how many miles, all the information. So, any business could try and implement that in when there's customer issues.
Oh, for sure.
And so that was his big thing, is try to make your company more of a family, more personalized, go for the excited customer. And just use passion. And that was big with Porsche.
Yeah, and one of the things I really liked whenever his quote, not just a brand, it's a promise. Whenever he says it's a promise, and you talked about making it feel like a family or like an experience, that seems to be the trend that we're seeing nowadays, to where all these different brands and companies want a full rounded experience from the time you get in contact with them to whenever you're done.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, we're talking Porsche, so it's hard to not think other car companies, but some others that stick out, like Ferrari is very much an experience. BMW, been to a lot of BMW dealerships. They are very much, we build the experience, not the car. And it makes you want, I mean, it makes you want to buy those cars.
Yeah.
Not just that they're nice, but I mean, I bought, now CarMax was great. I bought my car at CarMax, but it was very much a dealership. right? It was not an experience. Like, I don't have any drive to go back to CarMax when I, instead, if I had the money, I'd be like, oh man, I want to go get a BMW, right? So it works. It really works.
Oh, for sure. And one thing just popped into my head. So, everybody's on, not everybody, but a lot of people, Apple has built up such a reputation to where they have returning customers all the time. I could see that in the car culture to where, like, if they create this whole awesome experience and it's really personalized, that when that new car, that new model comes out, just like the iPhone, they'll be back. Get the new one.
Exactly.
That's I feel like that's
Exactly.
exactly what they're trying to do.
That's building a culture. That's building a family right there. That's a great example is Apple, yeah. So the next two speakers did a joint interview, and they were Steve. Now, please bear with me on this name. Okay, guys, I'm sorry. Steve Squeri, the American Express CEO. Okay. So Steve. And Ed Bastian, the Delta CEO. So American Express, Delta, huge partnership, probably the most successful partnership, I think. And they bring in like $7 billion from their partnership, is the number I think they threw out there. So one of the most successful of all time. So the first thing they wanted to talk about was post-pandemic trends. So Nick, I'm gonna let you take this away. What did they have to say about that?
Yeah, sounds good. So they're still talking about, and I want to say, me and Jack have also pointed out some of these just in the past, just brief mentioned them.
Yes,
But
that's
so
true.
it is true. But they wanted to talk about that experience space is going very strong. So, like me and Jack have been mentioning throughout this whole episode and in the past, people are wanting to spend money on experiences, not just singular items, that purse or whatever it may be. They want to go on the trip, get these experiences that they might only get to experience once, maybe twice in a lifetime. And restaurant and travel is way up just to go right along with that. So those are kind of the main ones. And another one that, Jack, you might be able to help out and touch on this more, but the value is no longer just meaning a lower price tag. There's a lot more
Yeah.
built into what is considered value to a customer.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you think of like a value brand or something, you think of the cheaper, brand, like Great Value. Walmart's brand, in-house brand is cheaper. And they're saying no, that's not the case anymore. Value doesn't mean on sale, even though in a lot of people's minds that's kind of what they think of now. No, value is you might be spending a lot of money, but man, you're getting a fantastic trip out of it. Like, it's worth the money that you're spending. I mean, it's a basic economic principle, is that if you're, I, this is a good example. Let's say you wanted to buy a water bottle, and the water bottle costs $3. Well, you are so thirsty that you would pay $10 for water right now. So that $3 water bottle is very valuable. Let's say that same $3 water bottle, you just chugged the Atlantic Ocean. So you would pay 50 cents for that water bottle. It does not have value anymore. So, it's basically just like price is not what determines value, guys. That is what they're saying.
Yes, exactly.
Although that is what's in a lot of people's minds. So I know that's kind of a weird example,
Yeah.
but that's the best way I could describe it.
No, I get it. It's wired in our minds that way off of just those singular items, right? We're talking about value of the experience.
Yeah. Personal value, not financial value, I think is maybe the best way to phrase that. So yeah, they obviously, Delta is a travel company, so they have a lot of data on travel. And they even the CEO, he was saying how shocked he is at how high travel is remaining, because obviously they expected travel to take a jump after the pandemic. But now that we're, 3 years removed, basically, it has not gone down. It's only gone up. So they really expect travel and experience spending to be around like for a long time, which is something that we've talked about. I mean, we have said that multiple times here on the podcast, is that travel's here to stay. So it was nice to hear that from the Delta CEO, I got to be honest.
And I've got a question off of that for you, Jack. Whenever he was mentioning that, did he say like what kind of age range that they're seeing like this, like kind of help
Yeah.
with the consistency with?
Yeah. So he said that they were seeing millennials and younger mostly. So millennial Gen Z. But he did say that Usually trends are age-based, but this one is across the board for the most part. He said even baby boomers travel and experience spending is way up. It's across the board right now, but it's more focused in younger Gen Z millennials, but you see it in baby boomers and Gen X? Gen X?
Yep, Gen X.
Gen
Yep.
X? Yeah. But yeah, so it's a trend that they're seeing everywhere. But they didn't just talk about trends. They did a couple different. They did brand, hiring and turnover and data. So quickly with brand, the whole thing was, don't just say your company values. You really have to live by them. And that if your company isn't top down, so like if the values are only held in the employees, at like a store, right? Let's say you're running a store. You're the CEO. If the values are only in your employees and you don't have them, then it does not matter. The values have to be all the way throughout the whole hierarchy of your business, and that you really have to live by them because that's what makes a good culture. And as we heard from Porsche and Zig, like building a culture is massive into making an excited customer and getting all this feedback and making millions of dollars. Okay, that's what we're getting at here. It's a business. And then to just treat your customers good. I mean, who doesn't know that? I'm sorry. I'm gonna point it out when it's a little bit okay. So we all know that. Treat your customers good, guys. If you have a business, that's a good idea. Then they talked about some turnover, and we've talked about this, Nick. The quiet quitting, how especially younger workers, they'll just jump from place to place. Like, oh, they're paying me more, I'm gone. So, and it's a problem that they face. And guys, these companies, every company that talked was in the top 50 of voted best places to work for. So they're doing it right and they're still dealing with this issue. They said to focus on employee experience. So really, it's not just sending surveys to your customers, it's sending surveys to your employees. What do you think of working here? What can be improved? What do you like? What do you dislike? All this other stuff. Really focus on making your employees the number one priority, not just the customer. Allow them to learn and grow at work. Shocker, allow advancement. That is a good idea too. Let your employees be unique. Don't just throw them in a cubicle and, have them crunch numbers all day long. Like, let them have their personality. Let them bring that uniqueness to work. And then finally, they talked about employee benefits is another huge thing is because, let's say you are looking to be a pilot and, American Airlines is offering you 3,000 a year more than Delta. Well, why would you pick Delta if they're, offering you less money? Their whole thing was you can allow good benefits that will help the offset of that. One, their example was they let every employee at any level of Delta fly for free based on seating availability. So you can do a unique benefit like that. And the last thing they said was data. Their whole thing was they get lots of data. Obviously, these guys are major CEOs. They have hundreds of millions of dollars. They are working 18 hours a day. They get a lot of data. They wanted to let everyone in the audience know that data should tell a story, right? They don't want empty stats, is how they described it. They want the data to mean something because they're getting so much data. And obviously, not 99% of people are not the boss and work for a boss. So it's good to know that if you're sending data to someone, you want it to mean something. Like, and you want data that helps with the future, not data that is the past. Because what does that do? You can use past data to sort of predict the future, but they want data that is going to really help you with the future. So not just like, oh, last year we sold 1 million tickets. Good job, guys. Because that doesn't help move the business forward. And that was what they had to talk about. And that was honestly my favorite talk of the day. They were very funny together. And they said a little more than what we're saying here, but these are the base principles. After them, we got to our final speaker of the day. He's the Hilton president. It is Chris Nassetia. Once again, I'm not
Think you
exactly
got it
sure.
right.
Not exactly sure. And he wanted to talk about customers and fixing issues. So, Nick, why don't you take away what did he have to say about that?
Yeah, so it looks like he started off strong with saying, ask, listen, and then act. Don't wait for that problem to occur. Fix it in the moment and fix it right whenever it occurs. So basically, in the moment. Another thing was the act of listening is far more powerful than anything else that you could do, which I believe that
Yes,
fully
100%.
listening to somebody could really help you determine what to say next, what to do next, how to act, things of that nature. Something else he mentioned was try to simplify these complex issues and problems that may come up as best as you can, obviously. I know a lot of times big companies can run into, major problems and could take time, could take more money, could take a lot of manpower. But a lot of times, if you can treat it or just bring it down to earth, like we're going to do this, this, and this, have a good plan, have a good setup for it, I think it can make things a lot more
Yeah,
easier.
it can be very overwhelming if you have a
Yeah,
big
that's a good
complex
way to say
issue.
it. Yeah.
So simplifying it can really get an attack plan in order and how to solve it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a big thing. And the last thing he said was that product is not the element of customer experience. It's part of it,
For
but
sure.
just a customer buying a product is not, that's not the whole thing. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? So, and I think, we all kind of know that. Like, obviously, there's a lot more that goes into buying a product.
Oh,
But he
yes.
just wanted to point that out too.
Well, it's kind of like what we've been talking about with all of these other guys, making an
Yeah,
experience. Yes, they are a
exactly.
company. They're still selling some sort of product or service, but the end goal is to not just sell it to them once, right? So.
Exactly. They want that excited customer. That was the big takeaway, is you want excited, not satisfied. So you got to build up your culture and your brand. Listening, that was the main thing I got from the Hilton president, is make sure that you're really listening to your customer, not just in what they're saying, but also in what they're not saying. If you're getting 10 customers and they're all like, "Oh, the bed is great, the bed is great, the bed is great, this is great, this is the," and they leave out, let's say, the bathroom, no one compliments the bathroom. Well, then, hey, they're complimenting all this other stuff in the room. They love the TV, they love the bed. No one loves the bathroom. That might be an issue. So really to listen on what they're not saying as much as as what they're saying.
Oh, for sure. And that could probably that took me back to the what Zig said with having the AI do it for you. Like that could potentially be something
Yes.
that AI could find. Like, hey,
Exactly.
maybe look at this. I just thought of that,
Exactly.
right? Yeah.
Yep. No, that's exactly what they were meaning by that. So yeah, that's good. And that was it. That was the event. Went and I heard some other Qualtrics people talk, but it was more specific to the Qualtrics AI. So we're not going to get into that with you guys. Unless Qualtrics wants to pay us, then I would be glad to talk about that all you want, guys. So Qualtrics, if you're listening, I'll talk about it. We'll talk
That'd be a
about it
good
all day
sponsored
long.
show.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was it. That was our
Sounds like you learned a lot, got a lot of good information.
Yeah, it was very, I learned a lot. That is a great way to put it. I really learned a lot. It was a cool experience seeing all the major CEOs and CMOs and all that too. So, we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back with a quote of the show.
Alrighty, guys, we are back. We've had a great episode so far. It's been a blast. But we're going to wrap it up with the quote of the show today. And Jack, I've got one coming at you from Oprah Winfrey.
Okay, the big O, the big
Yep,
Oprah
the big
Winfrey.
O.
I'm excited to hear it.
But here we go. So she said, and I quote, "You define your own life. Don't let other people write your script."
Yeah, I love that. I love
I
that.
liked
And
it too.
I think that can be applied to a business too. Like, don't let other people define your company.
No,
You are the
exactly.
defining link of your company. So
Yep.
I
And
think that fits in perfectly with this episode.
yep. And I wanted to tie it back into we all talked about creating each and every experience different, personal. So each different company, don't let all the other scripts of all the companies write what you do. Find your own,
Exactly.
define your own life, define your own route. So
Exactly.
that's what I was kind of thinking.
I love that. That's perfect. Well, what a great way to end the show. We really appreciate you guys listening once again. We hope that you learned as much as we did and that you really enjoyed it. And we're excited. We got a lot more to go this year. So a
Yeah.
lot of good, fun stuff coming at you guys. So thank you so much for listening.